Okay, this week on Arbitrary Jacularity, we're not going to follow up our last week's podcast about time travel. Instead, we're going to talk about going back to school.
Wait, time travel's next week.
You weren't there yet.
Oh, yeah. Man.
You'll get it the next time around.
Oh. Guys, you got to stop going back and doing time travel. I keep missing it.
We have...
I'll like that one.
Our guest this week is Paul Capitasto. He was here on a previous podcast, and now he's finished with grad school.
Woohoo! Finally.
All done, ready to join the real world.
I don't know if ready is the right word, but it's here.
Going to,
it's happening.
Exciting. How does it feel to be done?
Amazing. For once, I can actually sit down and drink a beer and not be like, oh shit, what do I have to multitask with and do something else? So, it's a good feeling, that's for sure.
So I wasn't here last time. What did you go back for?
I went back for my master's in film.
Oh, nice.
So I pretty much play all day anyway. But you know, just long hours.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
You could film us.
Yeah, I could.
We're remarkably entertaining.
Believe it. I'll just follow you guys around each, you know, couple days and just put it all together.
Oh, God, please don't do that.
I don't want to be in that editing room
dealing
with all that footage.
Yeah, it gets a little overwhelming sometimes.
There'd be a lot of us watching things, so that'd be weird.
Yeah, there'd be some slow parts. There'd be some very exciting parts.
And maybe some very, very slow parts.
Yeah. We may have to bring back mud pipes for that.
I just realized that sounds dirty.
Yeah,
it does.
I never thought it sounded dirty because I know what it is.
Well, if you're releasing correctly, it could get dirty.
It could get very dirty. Dirty and painful.
All I can think of are cow pies when I think of those.
Yeah. We had a pipe that we'd throw into the ground, and you get a clump of mud in the bottom, and then you can fling the mud.
Okay.
You swing it like a baseball bat, and the mud just slingshots out the end of the pipe.
At buildings and cars and people. And
we only did that the first time within the quad.
The second time we sparked.
We did hit a car. We did hit a window.
Yeah. We hit the buildings a bunch.
Just any old passerby.
It hit the buildings.
Well, the people probably deserved it, so it's okay.
Yeah. Had it coming.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody came outside while we were doing it.
That was the most astounding. Like people
not one person questioned what we were doing.
And no one walked through the quad at all.
Then again, I think if you were to see what we were doing and how adamant about having fun with it we were, you'd be a little intimidated to just try and approach us or say anything.
You'd be worried that you'd get mud pipes.
That you'd get some
mud pipes
slung at you.
Yeah.
Velocities.
So has that become a verb to be mud piped?
Oh no! Don't use it like that.
We didn't usually target people. It's more just about throwing.
We didn't
mud.
Usually target anything.
It
wasn't really a targetable type of activity.
It's very
a little more sporadic than
general. It was a general like 110 degrees of aim in front of you.
Fair enough. Guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so figured we'd just see, you know, what your thoughts were on going back to school, and was it worth it, all that kind of stuff. What do you got?
Well,
we can't tell us yet. He doesn't have another job.
he's got to work it in a little bit.
No, that's it. Well, to be honest, after, like, finishing and going through this extra 3 years, I think it would have been really hard to really stop completely, go into the real world, and then have to, like, remove myself again to go back into the student life.
Right.
Because it's always, like, you have that minimal break between graduation and the next thing happening, so going back to school for me. And it was enough of a break that even that was kind of hard to go back in. Because I had a semester off, because I went an extra semester. And in that open semester, I was just an adjunct professor at Buffalo. So I wasn't really going to school, and I was kind of working, but it was, I mean, a professor, so they don't really do much. At least, especially in the class I was teaching. I mean, it was fitness and conditioning, so I showed up and I had my students work out at the gym, and then they left. Like, it's not like I was really teaching. I was mainly yeah, it's like babysitting, making sure that they weren't. A few students actually like ran upstairs to the upper part where it's supposed to be like the treadmills and all that stuff, and they'd like sneak in homework and try and sit there doing homework. So when I'm here, I was like, guys, at least pretend like you're doing something. Like, put the books open on the treadmill and be walking something. Like. But so when I first started my first year in grad school, like, I was excited, but at the same time, after the first month, I was like, oh man, we're really doing this again. And I have how many years ago?
Yeah, I could see that.
So this last year was really hard, especially the last 2 months. I just sat on my ass and did not want to do anything, but didn't have a choice in the matter. So I'm glad it's done. But definitely was a good thing that I didn't stop before continuing on. Yeah, I never would have gone back. That's really the thing.
I have an interesting question. Why did you go back? Why did you continue?
So I probably picked the two worst majors to graduate in undergrad. I did fine arts and French. You can't really do much with either. And I didn't get a teaching certificate, so I can't teach French. Unless I went back and got that. So I just did it because why the hell not? I have already studied it for so long. And then
I could tell you reasons why not.
All right, fair enough. Well, in my case, I didn't see why I wouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
It gave me an opportunity to study abroad, which was fantastic.
What was her name?
Which one?
Viewers, I apologize. That wasn't even funny. I couldn't help myself.
It's classic. Classic, Jim.
And then I guess with art, I was trying to think, what can I really do with that that's practical and can actually bring in money? So I figured with film, it allows me to practice my art, but still put it in more of a realistic, practical sense, even though it's still pretty unpractical because so many people want to do it that it's really hard to get in the industry. But the area that I focus on is the least popular of all of them. So
public service announcements.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it bodes well for me in that sense. I could be the other one's bitch boy.
Because you're focusing mostly on the like the props and special effects.
Yeah, so it's more like the art direction, production design. So I build, design the sets, do the props, do special effects, makeup, costuming, kind of special location things. I know last time I was telling you about some of the alien walls and motifs I have to build. I just had a recent prop venue where I had to make a bunch of abstract sculptures for a fertility clinic.
Awesome.
Let me tell you, my Google search is very interesting right now if you were to scroll through it, because I had to just search fertility symbols and stuff.
I would have loved to be part of that project. That would have just been... Because every culture has their weird, like, three-dicked god about that. Like,
yeah, pretty much. So I had to make a dick with boobs. That was one of the sculptures I had to make.
Where did you put the boobs on the dick?
They were midway through the shaft, kind of like where a normal person's boobs would
like
be.
Like if you had an anthropomorphic dick.
Yeah,
yeah, an erect dick.
Chest height on a dick would be.
I would have gone, like, wild with it and put it on its side and just put them on the shaft that way instead of, like, instead of it being straight up and putting them on it, I would have just laid it down right on the side of the shaft.
That's a possibility.
I think your parents would be angry if we just made modern art like that. And just...
put it out in the yard?
Yeah.
Just really all of a sudden they wake up and there's just a big...
dick with boobs.
Just dick with boobs in the middle of the yard.
Yeah, so that was possibly the weirdest sculpture I've ever had to make. But the fertility goddess I found has about 30 boobs. Her two ears are actually just boobs on the side of her head. It's very...
Isn't that what ears are, though?
Head boobs?
Head boobs.
Head boobs.
Apparently.
We're learning so much.
Just the fever dreams of boys in the middle of puberty.
So yeah, so that was a fun project. I had to make 4 of these sculptures and send them off. So they went out down to New York City for the film shoot yesterday. And before that, I was making props for Syracuse Valley's Swan Lake.
Are you still going to be planning on doing any filming, or mostly trying to work with the...
I mean, on the side, I'm looking to do filming, and I'm looking to do my own side projects and shorts and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I have several movies that I have kind of in the pipeline that I need to start doing a screenplays for, but I'm not a really great screenplay writer, so I need
Well, when
to...
you need us, you just let us know, because we will just do it.
Perfect.
Gotcha.
I'm just going to send you guys my idea and let you run with it, and then you can toss it back, and I'll give you little suggestions
actually,
here and there. And
Andrew is a fairly good screenplay writer.
Yeah, I was going to say, out of any of
We're all ridiculous and bad ideas, but he actually can write screenplay.
He has the mindset. Syntax and everything down as well.
Perfect. Well, then I know who to go to.
I can read it really fast.
We're really... we're more of an improvisational feel.
That's all. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, the last movie I just made was very impromptu, I guess, in a way. A lot of the actors, I'd be like, here's a scene, this is the dialogue I want you to say, but you're allowed to improvise on what actions you want to do and like how you want to take it and how you want to portray the scene, and we played it out a few different ways. So it was a lot of fun in that sense, working.
I feel like that'd be the most fun way to film and do a scene like that.
Actually a little stressful, though. Like,
it's definitely stressful. I mean, because you go in with a mindset, this is the story I want to tell, this is what I need to get in order to tell this story, mm-hmm. but when you leave it open to improvisation, you're like, do I get it, do I not get it?
And do I change things?
Yeah, and how has this now changed my story, and how are we reading the characters? Which actually backfired a little bit on me in my critique, where... my character development happened in my script that I had written, but when I went to shoot it, because there was this openness for the actors, they kind of neutralized some of the characters in a sense, so they weren't as extreme, so they ended up being more similar than they were supposed to be. Yeah, they fucked my shit up.
You're saying the person you cast as Dick with Boobs just totally lost it, just went...
Yeah, they went Boobs with Dick instead.
They went Boobs with Dicks.
Oh, okay.
I guess it'd be more fun to be the actor in that than the director.
This is true. Yeah, and it was hard. I mean, for me, I was also pulling like quadruple duty. So I was operating the camera and a couple times running sound and directing and doing the lighting. And so there was...
acting, so you're telling yourself to be more improv. And then you improvised it. And then you're like, ah, shit, why did that asshole do that? And
yeah, and then it was really hard to yell it myself as the actor, as the director, who was having trouble as a cinematographer, so...
You got very Fight Club on it and just, like,
yeah, people kind of just took a step back and like, alright, we'll be back in 5. Let you sort it out.
Can you take a 5, please?
Go sit in the corner and just think about it.
Although, I feel like studying something like that not ruins you, but kind of makes you a little jaded for things. Like, you just watch normal things in life, you're like, oh man, I would have done that better. They totally fucked that one up. Like, I feel like knowing things about the industry like that ruins a little bit of the magic, but maybe it makes you appreciate things more. I don't know.
It kind of does. When I go see movies now, I struggle.
You judge them.
Of course I judge them. I judge them even harder than I normally used to. But now I have to consciously not think about, this is how they're doing that shot, and this is how they're framing it, and why did they choose to do it this way instead of that way? Because it does ruin the movie for you.
Yeah.
So you have to consciously shut your brain off and buy into the story as much as possible so that you get the full effect of the movie, because otherwise it just ruins it.
So you just go to movies and drink heavily.
Yeah, pretty much. That's just the moral of the story. Just drink really heavily before you go, and then everything's better.
I like this guy.
I realize I never actually answered your first question of why I went back to school. But essentially...
Wait, before you do it, we're not in the custom of answering questions we've ever asked on.
Oh, that. Okay. So, okay.
What just happened is exactly what normally happens.
This will be the
question
first time.
Is answered and a tangent happens.
It's okay. I mean, I figured for Jeff's sake, I will try to answer
there
it so you can cut it later in.
You don't have to do it for Jeff's sake.
All right, well... Anyway, I ended up going back because in the art world, unless you're doing art history or something that has more research behind it, a master's is as high as you can go, so that's essentially my PhD.
Right.
So that I now have like a minimum that I can get paid, or it should start the payment for me higher when I do get jobs. And I also really enjoyed teaching, so with a master's in the arts, I can be a professor, or I can teach at any university or collegiate level, and that's my backup. If I can't really make it in industry, or if I need something to supplement working in the industry, then I can teach on the side, so I can be an artist first and a professor second, but that way I at least have some steady income.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't make it a backup, supplement. It's a supplement.
Yeah. So, like, that, in undergrad, I was most impressed with my professors who were artists first and teachers second, because, one, they were current in what they were doing and knew what was going on. They had the best connections and saying, hey, you know, if you want to do this, if you want to get into this gallery or whatever it is, this is the best way to approach it, or this is someone you should try and contact, or something like that. And so, kind of stemming from them, I decided, like, this is what I want to do and go into that. So, at some point, I would like to teach. I taught all through my master's, and if I can keep that going, I will. But it's just, that's why I went back for my master's. I didn't have to go into the film industry. You don't ever have to get an education for the film industry. It's one of those things where if you know what you're doing and you've played around enough and you can get your foot in the door, you know someone, you're good to go.
Yeah, that's true of any industry. I'm not going to lie. Just know somebody.
It's true, yeah. Connections are everything. It helps if you have some background knowledge to support, so you show up and you're not a complete waste case, and they're like, why the hell did we let this guy on set? So,
oh, he's good looking, that's right, we'll keep him.
Steve's kid. Steve's guy, I guess.
His uncle's the producer, we told him we'd watch him. With the dancers. So, we had I don't know if Jeff and Bill had this same experience, but I had a different experience with professors. Most of my professors worked in industry for, you know, a number of years, and then wound up telling their manager to go fuck themselves and went and got their master's and became professors. So that's how in engineering it generally works. They get fed up with industry and they're like, man, I'm going back to just pure engineering, which is collegiate and you teach.
Right. Well, that makes sense. I've heard of that happening a lot too, where a lot of people, especially in, well, anywhere there's politics and you just have to deal with that bullshit. And so a lot of people, they just hit the end of the rope and they're like, fuck you, I'm done. It's not worth my time.
I feel like with my science professors, some of them, you know, were out doing research and stuff, but a decent amount of them were doing some research, and then we're doing research for the college, and it just kind of slid into that where they thought, you know, while I'm here, I'll teach, or vice versa.
Right.
There's definitely a sex joke to be made there.
Science.
Sexy. Just slid into it and figured out while I'm here.
Since I was.
And Bill, you went back to grad school for a bit. And you didn't like it.
One semester of grad school.
Mm-hmm.
Made it. I got accepted. Wasn't for me. I left.
Yeah, but you're better at working out now because of it.
Yeah. Got an undergrad degree in applied math, and I went to grad school for kinesiology, exercise science.
Just totally 180'd that one.
And it was weird. That one was weird because it was such a different, like, major. I had to take, like, two undergrad courses that would be prerequisites for grad courses. So I'd be in class with
a bunch of freshmen, like, or sophomores.
Yeah. With, you know, kids that are, I'm, you know, 4 or 5 years older than.
Mm-hmm.
But they had no idea. Like, in my lab group, I played it off pretty well until until we'd actually, like, gotten a few weeks in and we'd talk to each other about whatever. And it's like, yeah, I'm 25.
Yep. You're so cool, man.
I didn't realize how old are you guys. I've just been thinking of you guys being like the same age as me because we're all in the same class.
And nope. They're like, well, we're 19.
I realize this. Other than the professor teaching the class, I'm the oldest person in this room. That's fun.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, I've had a few classes like this over the last 3 years because we're a small enough program that a lot of classes intersect with undergrads and grad students. So, like, this last semester, I was by far the oldest one in the class, and I was like, well, this is weird. What was really fun is when I was teaching, some of the undergrad students were older than I was, like, a lot older. And so it was really funny when I'm handing back their papers and they weren't happy with grades and like, I'm sorry, but you really suck. And the first time I was grading it, I was just picturing like, well, how the hell did this person get into college, especially Syracuse, because they seem to be pretty, you know, difficult to get in, a little choosy. And then I find out who it is and I'm like, okay, even more so, why are you still writing like a 10-year-old? You're in your mid-30s, if not 40, like, this is not okay.
Spent all of those years just trying to get in, and eventually...
eventually, they let
they
me...
They just like, made the minimum requirement and
they
got
have,
in.
They have a policy. Once you apply 15 times in a row, you're allowed in.
I think it's... Yeah, it's the mercy rule. You've already paid for 1 year of tuition with all of your like, application fees. So they're like, all right, I guess we can give them a year. Might as well.
I'm on the other end of that boat that you talked about being hard and not wanting to do... I've been working for 3 years, and now I have to start doing my master's online.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's hard because you don't even have a location or a professor or a classroom to, like, force yourself to get back into the mood. You have to be all very self-regulating.
Right.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Well, I kind of got a specific bachelor's degree, so if I want to ever get out of the current industry I'm in... I have to get a more generalized master's, which I realize is completely backwards of how most people do it. But
I was gonna say.
Yeah, that's that's really backwards.
Yeah.
But hey, but it works. Are you, like, getting tired of your industry right now, and that's why you're looking to branch out and get your master's, or is this just something to give
you
more
options?
No,
it's just something in case. I work for and we were just sold... If our fab doesn't do well over the next, like, 2 or 3 years, they're just going to shut the doors. So just kind of a, like, well, I should start this now so that by the time they make the decision of keep it open or close it, I have the option to totally get out of the industry or go to just another fab somewhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense.
And hopefully a little higher pay.
Yeah.
How long will it take you to do the master's? Because how many classes are you going to take at a time?
It depends on how many I can do at a time. If I do 2 classes a semester online, I can do it in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's not bad.
No, yeah, I mean, and 2 classes isn't bad. That's more than manageable.
Yeah. Are they gonna pay for that?
No.
Nah.
Oh, not at all.
Well, so there was a. There was a deal a while ago, but now that we're switching companies, I don't know if it's still open. And if I take the deal, then I'm locked in for 2 years after the completion date of my master's. So
that makes sense.
So I'm better off just biting the bullet and doing the loans for now.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So. That makes sense. Yeah, I had a buddy who was going back to school for his master's or taking some other classes, but... through his company, they were willing to pay for up to, like, so many credits or so many classes a year. So he was able to kind of finagle it. So he's like, all right, if I take this long to do it or I work it this way, then I don't have to pay anything to go back.
Yeah, IBM used to pay for it in its entirety.
That's why they lock you in for another 2 years.
Right. Yeah, which was fine. If they would have paid for the whole thing, I would have said, oh, yeah, you got it.
Yeah,
right.
But they had a deal that was much, much less than that. And I decided it wasn't worth it, so I never signed up for it.
Makes sense. Yeah, I would have gone anywhere if they paid for everything.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in art school, no one offers you anything. But that's why I ended up at Syracuse, because they gave me the most money. It was not the best program. Mm-hmm. My top choices were not even in this state or country, for that matter.
Jeff, bleep that. You can't. It'll ruin Paul. Syracuse.
Yeah, they'll
fuck Syracuse.
Hey, go Orange.
Yeah, no. Nope, they love me too much. They wouldn't get rid of me.
Seriously, what the fuck kind of mascot is that?
It orange. Nothing.
A cult.
I just think it's ridiculous that we can't be called the Orange Men because it's sexist. That's why we're just the orange.
You guys are a paint swatch. It's like...
We are. But he's still clearly a dude. Like, the mascot. Yeah. So I'm surprised they don't have a dudette or some...
Oh, there you go. A whole team.
Right?
Well, it's
just, just another orange circle with, like, eyelashes.
There you go. Exactly. That's all you need.
Exactly.
If we go the Pac-Man route.
Yeah.
You could just make... You could make their new mascot just a penis with boobs and... Make...
There we go. We've solved your problem, Syracuse.
Score. Yep.
The Syracuse fuck-alls will you be.
this is good stuff. Writing
this down. Yep. I like it.
Totally going to write your next movie, Paul.
Perfect. I'm totally down for it. I'll shoot it.
Just got to get that sculpture back.
Yeah.
Well, the main character.
I can make a new one. Yes, you don't
worry. We'll make a new one.
We'll make a new one. It'll be bigger, better, you know, the works.
We're serious about it this time.
What do you mean sculpture, Jeff? We're going to make you a costume that's a...
You're just going to run around in this thing.
Excellent. And then just film it. Boom, movie.
Done. It'll be like...
Just a Running Man type scenario. With Jeff in the costume. Okay.
It'll be like Wilfred, where like it's clearly a person wearing a dog outfit, yeah, but you're just in a boobed dick costume.
Yeah. Although, I think... Bill's on to something. We should just reshoot classic action movies with Jeff in a dick with boobs costume.
A new twist on all like the movie revamps they're doing.
Like days. Judge Dredd would be awesome with that. Yeah, and because we're reshooting like 80s and 90s movies, the innuendos can just flow forth. I mean, it's we could nail this.
Oh, could you?
See what I mean? Perfect.
They'd be coming out nonstop.
Oh
yeah. Can't even stop it now.
There's just so many puns to make, we'd never finish.
No. You're really milking this one, Bill. Enough. Jeff, cut all this out, so I gotta go.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. Where take it?
Andrew's gonna be mad he missed the whole conversation about it.
he could have contributed.
Where's that shock value?
Yeah.
That's what we're missing right now.
Yeah, we're missing shock value.
Just saying. Same.
Yeah, with my job, I do quality, and there's not really a program anywhere for quality. I haven't looked into it too much because I'd rather not go back to school, but mostly what I'd be doing would be going to, like, classes that people, like, companies would hold.
And learn how to be anal, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much.
Six Sigma, like, green belt, black belt. Like, that's, you would go that route.
Yeah, that's one of the things. But again, it's not, like, a college course, is it?
It's a course. Like, you have to go places for, like, a week or two, and then, You can take a whole semester of it and then get, you know, a higher belt level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got online classes for that.
But usually it incorporates a project. Like, and if you work in industry, you use something you're doing at work as your project and then just work that in and get your certification.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to do that with my job.
Right. Well, you could. You could just force it. Just
try and. Yeah, I'm doing all sorts of
testing on drugs.
No, I don't. Yeah, that's the problem, because I'm like a satellite, so most of the stuff is all the big things I just assist with. But we got our home planet is where all the testing and stuff does, and if there's anything, I have to talk to them. I can't just do it myself.
Where is your home planet?
Our home plant is in Syracuse.
Bleep.
It's kind of annoying because...
Where's your home planet, Jeff?
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
We know where it is.
But, yeah, so, I mean, it wouldn't be like a college thing if I went back, unless I wanted to do something completely different, which I actually like quality, so...
It does weirdly suit you.
It does.
I wouldn't say weirdly, it just suits him.
I've definitely been more anal retentive about things since doing quality, but I was always annoying about that kind of stuff.
But that's good that you need, like, it's funny, engineers complain about, like, quality and those people, but it's like, you know what, honestly, we're shoot from the hip, like, we need that that other side of the coin to
someone to keep in line.
Yeah.
Exactly. We need that too as artists, because we're even further out than engineers most of the time, so we definitely need that little grounding line, being like, yo, you're absolutely insane, this is never going to work. Come on, why not?
No, okay. That's not art. Just because you said it's art, it's not automatically make it art.
Don't even get started.
Yeah. We actually know the person that will tell you that you're crazy and you need to rein it in a little. We have a buddy who makes sets and stages for various different things, but when people come to him like, we need this, he's like, no, that's not what you need.
This is what you need.
We can do this. Described doesn't exist yet.
Right. See, that's my problem still, is I'll be like, alright, I've never seen that done before. Let's try and make it happen.
Well, Paul, don't worry. On 2 weeks ago's podcast, we talk about that.
Oh, score. Good old time travel. Let's go back and listen to it.
Oh, you're thinking of last year.
Oh, Paul, I am way ahead. Behind. Next to it. I'm next to it.
You're next to it. All
right. Right in the meaty right part of the curve of it.
Well, it depends if you think of like a line or a circle. Then time goes to the left, or is it counterclockwise, anti-clockwise?
Time is an octagon. Oh. It's just a battle.
It's all relative.
Your turn, Jeff.
But I'm...
Your turn.
I got nothing.
It's okay, Jeff. Take your time.
Stunned to silence. Clock's not ticking, don't worry.
When I think of a good one, I'll just cut it back. I'll say it and cut it back.
It will have had happened.
What'll happen is Jeff will cut one of Paul's sweet laugh tracks out and then put it right after his joke. To make it appear that people thought it was funny.
There you go.
Just layer them on top of each other, too.
So much
like
laughter.
A crowd of laughter.
And the audience will be like, man, only like a couple people thought like Bill and Jack stuff was funny, but when Jeff says shit, he's
lots really of people funny. Laugh. He must be funny.
This actually sounds like a great idea.
So on top of the bleeping this week, you have to add in crowd laughter for
crowd all the jokes.
Couple laugh tracks. I'm on it.
And the note is being written.
Oh, man.
I guess just start laughing in different ways to see if I can give you a little diversity.
Yeah.
You got to get a whole bunch of them now.
I'm just gonna go probably steal some from online. It'd be a lot easier than getting a whole bunch of
but way less fun.
It would
obviously
be less fun.
Easier if we just make a bunch of different laughs and you probably cut them all together than just getting one laugh track from the internet.
Fine.
Lame. Generic.
Does anybody still listen to this?
Oh, we got a couple. Peaked at Gavin, obviously, but we're going strong a little before and after.
That is true.
Well,
that was one of our better ones.
That was
though.
One of our better. That's the beginning of our. That's beginning of the phase of the room, really.
Because the room is the best. I mean,
it's a good one.
Oh, we didn't
do one.
We haven't asked Paul the room.
The first time he was on.
Did we?
The first time he was on. Did we do the fighting an animal room? I don't think it was a thing.
Oh, Paul.
I don't think so.
I got it, Jeff.
I think you told me, like, afterwards, but not during the podcast.
Okay, all right, Paul.
Did it. Okay.
If you need an idea for a movie, this is it.
Got it. I'm ready.
You're in a 16 by 16 white room. I don't care how tall it is, Jeff.
That's hotly debated on the height of this room.
You're in a 16 by 16 white room. It's you in a pair of jeans. No underwear, obviously.
Just obviously,
and you have to fight an animal, and the caveat is the animal knows it's to the death, right? So like, if you choose a cow, It knows it's to the death, and trust me, you will not beat a cow.
Cow so will try and kill you.
You then have to pick an animal and say, like, if you think you could kill it, and then how many of that animal if it's smaller.
Oh.
We've had a pretty wide array. So it could be flying, but I have to tell you, you'll be at a severe disadvantage for anything flying.
But that just gets weird when we get to, like, too many owls.
An owl a second. Yeah, no, don't go in owls.
Gavin Monks is
hypothetical. You can
go back and listen. Gavin calculating cubic footage
of owls.
Of owls or chicks.
Oh, the chicks one. Jeff already checks on the chicks one. Kill all of them. I don't give a shit.
Kill all of them. Can't hurt me.
It just gets grizzly.
Yeah, it just gets really nasty and slippery, yeah, but.
No, chicks, there's no blood at all. You just roll on them and they die immediately.
Oh, also, we have had a lot of different techniques, fighting styles emerge. Andrew's popular one is just rolling down on the floor and rolling all around.
No, I thought he was a fan of the kicking.
Mine happens to be getting two of whatever animal you're fighting and tying them together by their tails.
Nunchucks, or yours is also like beating one animal with the other.
Oh
animal.
Yeah, if you're fighting like a smaller goat or like a miniature deer, and you kill one, you pick up that one that you've killed, and then you use that as your weapon for the other one. Goose was my best one.
Yeah. You were talking. You
grab a goose and just start beating other geese with
it. That's too far into birds.
Yeah, birds went far.
Birds with necks are just.
Well, you gotta be careful of those, especially the swans. Their bills are actually razor sharp. Like, they will slice you open.
No, so here's the thing. You are gonna walk away maimed from.
Oh, by all means. Yeah.
It's just. Can you get out of there alive?
Yeah, it's not walk away spotless and then like survive another couple of weeks. It's just get out of the room. You could die immediately after. I don't care. It's just get out of the room. I mean, I care about you, Paul, but Jeff.
Oh, like, thank you. I appreciate it. Hypothetical.
So usually we tell our guests to prep an animal.
Oh, you did not tell me to prep an animal.
But since you're an artist, come up with an animal on the spot. A dick with boobs doesn't count.
Fair enough. I'm trying to think of something that would be, like, really interesting to fight.
Blue-footed booby. All right. That's bird-related. Move on to the next one.
We fight too many birds. So many birds we fight.
I think it'd be interesting, like... What about, like, an iguana? It'd be kind of crazy, because if you grabbed its tail, and you know how lizards, like, they detach their tails? Then they, like, the tails start writhing on their own when they detach them, so then you can get these, like, writhing lizard tails you can start whacking things with.
Just...
Yes, yeah. I said writhing.
Ugh.
We were rather wriggling.
Writhing iguana tails.
Wriggling's better. Writhing just, I don't know.
But see, I think they could put up some. Yeah, they're very spiky.
Have you ever been whipped by an iguana tail?
No, but I'm sure it hurts like a bitch.
Oh, that shit hurts. They're scaly. So much.
Yeah, I would believe
it. Our class had an iguana instead of like a guinea pig. That we had an iguana, and that motherfucker, if it got upset, it would whip you, and it hurts.
Dude, our icon for arbitrary ejaculation.
It's an iguana.
It's an iguana.
Wait, how have we never done an iguana if that's what our...
Too obvious.
Because I'm obvious. The shit, that's why.
Because we don't come up with animals. The guests do.
We spent a whole podcast coming up with animals.
We came up with a lot of animals.
We did that animal.
We delved into, like, insects and fish before we came up with iguana.
Oh, actually, you know what would be, like, a really hard one? Would be, a swarm of bees.
That
they would
sounds
kill
awful.
You. Like, imagine just, like, going at you. There's not much you can do.
Stinging.
They're attacks. Hard to kill.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
And you can't choose, like, wasps or honeebees where they die after they sting, so you have to do, like, a bumblebee where they can repeatedly sting
That would be the
you.
Question.
Yellowjacket.
What would be worse, the ones that don't die after they sting you, or the ones that do die after they sting you?
Because they leave the
Because they have, like, actual... More poison in their stings.
What is it? 100 stings can kill you?
I was thinking that exact thing. I was trying to remember.
It's somewhere around there for like an average human.
And it's bad though, because like usually if you run 50 yards or 100 yards fast enough, they'll stop chasing you. But you're in a 16 by 16 room. You can't unless you run in a circle, but even that doesn't really work that way.
Well, that's a prime example of where my personal technique comes in. No.
Ooh.
When you get in the room, you're just wearing denim pants, pop those suckers off.
No.
That's
the best. I'm down with my dignity.
You use the,
my dick is staying protected.
The pants are an easy weapon. Anything with a neck, you're choking it out with pants.
Right?
Those insects, you're swinging the pants around.
It's going to be gigantic insects. By the time you die.
Because my luck, they'll just sting me in the balls, and then my balls will swell up, and my specter will look super small, like, comparatively.
It's not about getting out of the room with a big dick, dude.
No, I'm not getting out. I mean, when I die.
I'd totally be okay with just taking those pants off and using them. That was the plan from the get-go.
From getting stung so many times.
Well, then maybe you can go dangle style, you know, and just rip the jeans, like, just enough that you're covered, but you still have the legs.
And you have a lot of extra movement.
You got all that extra flexibility in those jeans, but they're still covered.
You think if you rip jeans by hand, you let me know.
Use your teeth.
No, the thing is,
that's a lot of time to take for bees.
That's if you're fighting bees. I mean, think about the other things you're fighting. What if you had claws on an animal you killed? You could use the claw or their tooth to, like, start a hole and start ripping.
Ripping the jeans plan is
flawed. Fighting, like, bees and jaguars at the same time. Something's wrong with
them. A menagerie.
I just put a suggestion out there.
Thank you for actually using the word menagerie correctly.
Thank you. I pride myself on correct word usage.
Oh, do you remember the time we had the argument about fortuitous?
Yeah.
And you said it doesn't mean good or bad, it's just having fortune either way. Huge argument about it.
It's the connotations nowadays is that it's good fortune.
We had a weird apartment.
Yeah, we had some good conversations.
Somebody at work actually today accidentally stole a fork from the cafeteria, had it in his pocket, didn't think to take it out. He said, because I've had this conversation, I've made people talk about this at work, how much would it change if you just had a fork?
And I feel like it would definitely depend on the animal.
He immediately went to dogs, right? So at work, we've decided that there's a certain size of dog that you can take, and then after that, you're kind of screwed. And most dogs, we think you could take because they'll totally maim one of your arms. But as long as you have another arm and a leg free, you could probably take most big dogs because they only have jaws. There's no claws to worry about.
Yeah,
you're right.
So you started asking about like coyote and then wolf, and I was like, I still don't know if you could take a wolf. They're really big and strong.
Yeah.
But then he immediately went to cats, and I was like, yeah, no, I don't think your chances change at all with cats if you have a fork. Whatever size cat you could take regularly is the size cat you could still take
with a fork.
I would definitely utilize feet against
against the wall would definitely just be like
little. You don't understand. I mean, like, jaguars are a cat.
Oh. Well, you gotta specify which cat, then.
Cats. I said cats.
I understand, but... Well,
cats, I didn't say house cats. Cats.
The vernacular for what you're thinking of is, like, big cats.
Yeah, separate
cats. Okay. I'm sorry. Predatory cats. How's that? Is that better?
There you go.
They're all predatory.
They're all
Not my cat. He only has one eye, and just that's... He doesn't prey. He only preys on my little brother. That's it. Him draws the line.
Well, I think if a lucky blow of the fork to the windpipe could severely slow down any animal.
I feel like because if you're gonna be punching something, and you just one of your punches also has some stabbing material, I feel like it would help in more often than not. I feel like
it'll
help, but I mean like in the ultimate of could you kill that animal before it killed you, I feel like if you stabbed a mountain lion with a fork, it's still probably going to kill you.
Yeah, the 10 stabs you get in is not going to...
Unless you stabbed its eyes.
I think it'll still kill you.
No, it'll die eventually. But it will absolutely kill you first.
I don't think.
Yeah, and the question is, can you name an animal?
Because it still wants to kill you.
Well, I know, but it's like a little easier to get around it. Because it has to rely only on scent and hearing, which is slightly less accurate.
Sloth.
You're not trying to escape, you're trying to kill it.
I know, but, like, if it can't see you, it's easier to, like, sneak behind it and then, like, attack it from behind rather than...
Wait, are we back to the Jake joke puns? Or... No, I guess yeah. If you think you're fast enough to stab one of the predatory cats in the eye, yeah.
That's can you get a good stab? You know, face stab. Her in the face.
Because they are stupid fast.
Yeah.
Yes. No.
But Bill Burr's
They go right for that jugular. That's like their main attack with their jaws. They go straight for the jugular.
Bill has a good point. Is there an animal that you would lose to without the fork, but then all of a sudden clearly win with the fork?
You say clearly, but...
No, clearly win clearly. With the fork.
Bats.
No, that's a bad one.
Why? If you caught them in the wing there, tear it right out, they can't fly, and they just kind of scuttle on the ground.
No, I'm with Andrew when it comes to bats. Stick both your arms out as far as you can and spin in circles.
You pop the jeans off and you just start waving them.
Or Bill, yeah, either one of those is better than a
get them on the ground and smash them.
I get a bloody nose.
That's like saying you have a better chance with like 10,000 chicks if you have a fork than if you just hold on them.
That would be so difficult. It's just a pile of chicks. How are you going to stab one of them?
What's the point? You just use your feet instead. It's more efficient.
Like, I don't know, like...
It's like 10,000 chicks when all you need is a fork.
You know there's one animal I think no matter what, would never stand a chance, would be like a hippo.
Well, yep. Yeah, they kill people.
No matter what.
But yeah, they kill people more often than sharks.
And alligators.
They kill alligators.
No,
they do kill alligators.
You say that, but I think alligator... Because if you could... You can get around it and hold its jaw shut. I'm fairly certain if you stay on top of it and just keep pulling its head backwards, fairly certain to kill it.
Just keep bashing on it.
Yeah, well, we didn't say that. We said hippo.
Yeah, we said about hippos kill alligators.
No, because he said alligators too.
Yeah, no, hippos kill alligators.
No, hippos, no.
They're ridiculous.
But anything that big, you have no chance. Like, that's like saying you could somehow kill an elephant in a 16 by 16 room. That elephant would just shift its weight and you
just lean against the wall.
You could jump from one side to the other, but eventually it will get you. You can't do enough damage.
Is kind of what we said about a cow, except we figured a cow has spindly enough legs that you could, like, blow an ACL on one of its legs just by side kicking it, you know?
Yeah, this is true.
And then, and then somehow wrap it and try and choke it. Cows are really meaty.
With the pants.
You'd have to use the pants in this case.
Yes.
Blind it with pants.
Same thing with like an ostrich or a giraffe.
Your own blood on yourself and make it run into the wall at you like they do on Looney
Tunes. That's pretty strong.
Their kick, they can like... I mean, they can run around 45, 50 miles an hour. Yeah. Their one kick can have in your entire chest. So I'm just thinking like one good kick from an ostrich and you're...
Yeah, I don't know if you'd be quick enough to dodge an ostrich.
The key for ostriches is you gotta be fast enough to grab its neck pull its head down because it can't kick you. Can't kick forward if its head's down.
There you go.
So
it's just like
I know it's a flightless bird, but why are we back to aviary? I thought we like made a statement that we wouldn't go back there.
Well, I also mentioned giraffes. There's so many
different kinds of birds.
Yeah. Well, we did penguins.
Penguins. Yeah. Well, we did a couple different kinds of penguins.
Yeah, we did.
Some of them are bigger than others.
Emperors are huge.
Yeah. But there's not much movement to them.
They're just pecky.
Oh, I finally watched Planet Earth the other day for the first time, because it's on Netflix now.
Surprised that's the first time. I think you had watched it in college.
No, that's
the first time. Tyler watched it all the time.
And there's the one penguin that, like, fights the seal and just pecks the shit out of it. And you can see it bleeding. It's like, all right, maybe I changed my mind. Maybe I'm down to 8 penguins now instead of 10.
Damn, bitch, you're scary.
Exactly. So, podcast listeners, I apologize. I reduced my number down to 8 penguins that I could take.
Still going to give you your first answer is the only answer that counts.
I'll do it.
I'm going to build that room, and I'm going to put just slightly too many emperor penguins.
So it's life or death. I come alive. I'm in. Let's do this.
That's the whole point of this exercise.
Oh, right.
It's not the... You're bringing your... You're not... You don't have your A game. You have your B game.
Do I get my
braces? How many animals can you... No! No! Unless there's a pair of jeans that have braces just in
built
them.
Built into them.
Oh, God. I'm going to like, reset those.
Like a dense denim around the brace area.
I'm making those.
But then that's a whole different conversation about denims.
Don't get Jake and Bill, Jake and Danny involved in this.
They already are. They don't even know.
We have two kids on our soccer team. Kids? Can I call Danny a kid? We have two people on our soccer team that are really into denim.
Do they like the Canadian tuxedos?
That's a weird thing to say.
No, like selvedge denim where it's the end of the roll and it has a little red stripe on it, and then like different weights of denim, different companies that make them like personally for your body size. And
I've learned so much more than I ever knew about denim in the last 20 seconds.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, Jeff, and we have Jeff, from playing
if you're
on the team.
If you're going in the room, Jeff, you gotta know about the denims.
Yeah, you gotta get the right denim. Jeans.
Thought it was standard jeans.
You gotta save your life.
Right, you don't want to get that stretchy kind, because then you're really
no,
fucked.
You're going in
jeggings?
There.
Can we use jeggings?
Jeggings.
That's a different room. That's the room where you fight the dick with boobs. That's jeggings.
But that room, that's like one of those optical illusion rooms.
Oh.
Where, like, the window's different sizes, and it's weird.
Don't go in that room. Well, this can all be in your movie. You have full rights to it. We don't care.
I love it. I love it. Just get ready.
This is an hour. People are like, oh, it must be difficult to be a writer for like a comedy show or a movie. No, it's not. You just start spouting shit, and then it's good. And then you let Jeff edit it, and then you get like 12 minutes of good content.
Now we're usually about 40
minutes.
But that's why we now understand why Adult Swim shows are 11 minutes long. Because they sit down for 3 hours, and that's what comes out.
It's took me an hour to write. I thought it would take an hour to
read. An hour to read.
Yeah, well, it's very similar to the film industry where you hopefully use about like a 1-to-2 ratio. It's never like that. It's usually like 1-to-20, oh, which is really shitty. And for every minute of footage you watch, it's usually at least an hour's worth of editing.
Yeah,
that sounds fucking terrible.
Mm-hmm. It is pretty miserable sometimes. Just keep that in mind next time you go watch a movie. You're like, oh. Now, obviously, it changes on the type of the movie and what's going on. But
I already overanalyze movies too much.
You that's don't like, need to add anymore, yeah.
Whenever you look at CGI, all I can think now is, well, there's $1 million. There goes another $1 million. Like, that shit is expensive.
Yep, mm-hmm. And when they do it really shittily, it's even worse. And yes, I just said shittily.
That's a word.
Anything,
all right. Anything you say on this podcast becomes a real word.
Well, in that case, just let loose.
Boob dick.
Boob dick.
Dick one, boob.
One word. Dick boob.
They're both dick words now. Congratulations, guys. We just nailed it.
Sweet. Can I get like a certificate or something?
Jeff will make you one. He's our guy for that.
Print some right out.
Excellent.
Print some out of work.
Great. I'll frame it on my wall. Can't wait.
And on that note, we're going to wrap up this podcast. Paul, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And you can follow the show at Arbitrarjacularity on Twitter or on Facebook, Arbitrarjacularity, or Google Plus. Still on that.
No, are we still on Google Plus?
I keep putting the thing up every time we do a podcast. Well, I'll link it to that.
Paul, just like our 90s movies remakes with a dick with boobs, Come anytime.